on the program. I think they're not here. The ARC Institute. Not here. And then it's Mr. Steve Pike. Submission number 37. There. I don't know if you've been here this morning, sir. Seen that you heard the procedures. You have 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll ask some questions. And some of the more controversial issues, some consensus is being reached around that to amend it, and the full extent is due later. So you can bear that in mind in your input, or you can ignore it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just setting up a PowerPoint. Okay. First of all, I just want to say that I'm a media entity and a forecasting, marine forecasting entity combined. So there's some interesting clashes and overlaps there. I also acknowledge the concessions made and the work that's going to proceed on the bill. But I just think that my presentation may add some value, particularly some genetic diversity to this debate, as well as maybe some context when the legislators get down to crafting ways of improving the bill, and in particular the role played by the South African Weather Service. As South Africa's premier surfing forecaster and founder-editor of Wavescape, the largest surfing website and forecasting marine service for coastal users, I'd like to state obviously my concerns regarding the proposed amendments. And this may now be defunct, but my concern has been whether they render some of my work illegal. I basically publish and analyze marine data. I'd also like to just point out some points around the semantics of warnings, and I do express some concern around weaknesses in the business model and the communication system of the South African Weather Service. And I think that, as I think has been discussed already, there should be more collaboration with smaller, more specialist entities, such as myself, and with the Weather Service. And as an aside, today is the very first day that I actually used a press release from the Weather Bureau on Tropical Cyclone Funzo in the Mozambique Channel. But of course, I had to go to their website to get it. My constituency comprises around 25,000 people around the coast of South Africa. My website attracts 200,000 page impressions a month, and they all depend on my skills as a marine conditions analyst. Now, from the outset, let me just say that when I issue a warning, whether a severe weather or storm warning or a big wave alert, it is more actually a fun weather alert, since the surfing community focuses on the consequences of a weather event in an inverse fashion to most other normal people. Big storms and big waves get my community excited. However, I have many from the fishing, yachting, and recreational communities as well, so my analyses are interpreted according to the need. My free service draws data from NOAA, the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration in the United States. The data is downloaded in binary form and uploaded onto my website for 10 regions around the coast of South Africa. Now, these include Namaqualand, West Coast, Cape Peninsula, Boerland, Southern Cape, Eastern Cape, Wild Coast, South Coast, Durban, and the North Coast. So the information we publish includes a range of things, including moon phases, tides, swell heights and direction, wind speeds, and so on. And this all comes is churned out by a software called WaveWatch 3, which is published and is freely accessible to anyone in the world by NOAA. Okay, this information is graphically rendered on Wavescape. So there, for instance, you'll see the bar graph that we use to indicate swell heights and wind speeds and directions and the interval of the swells. Our users depend on the information because it's unique, micro-level, and specialized. So if you look at, for instance, my my blurb. So I issue a blurb that basically analyzes this data so that people can make informed decisions about their marine and coastal activity, whether it's surfing in its many guises, kite surfing or bodyboarding or whatever, to fishing, sailing, swimming, and general beach use. So I interpret this data. It's an almost one-dimensional focus, and it focuses specifically on waves. And obviously, wind is a factor. I focus on the swell energy, the size, and the way that the waves break in various places, near shore places along the coast, from bays to inlets to point breaks to headlands. So I have often felt that I tread close to performing illegal acts almost when I issue a warning. And I know that there's been some very interesting progress made over the last 24 hours or so. I'm not going to come out guns blazing about me being a small guy up against the big guns and so on. But I would call on the Weather Bureau and the government to investigate more ways that we can collaborate between each other. We lack the broader reach and macro level resources at the disposal of the South African Weather Service, but we do bring to the table a unique and specialized focus that has a huge value to play in the broader populace, but again, particularly just along coastal dwellers. I'd also urge you to consider that in the US, the Global Forecasting System and NOAA are almost 100% free with the information, and that you can go to FDP sites and download basically every single little bit of data for every single virtual inch of the oceans around the planet. And these systems were originally created for military purposes, but now have become free and open source information in the public domain. And I feel that the Weather Service should take note of that and perhaps take it to heart as well. And also, one of the problems I think is an efficient communication service broadcast by the South African Weather Service. I think journalists often struggle to interpret warnings and weather information. Sometimes it's hard to get a coherent assessment. The element of scientific observation can perhaps obfuscate almost the truth and accuracy of a statement. And this is where I come in, because my language can be flowery, metaphoric, almost purple in the way that I speak my weather alerts and my surf reports. But that adds a certain level of, interest and accuracy in a way. Describing the texture of the ocean and warning people about huge waves is, it's a little bit more personal. I think that's really it.
How do you start? A mermaid whispered to me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I could actually read you, I'll read you part of my forecast for Friday in KZN. Friday, swell 10 to 15 foot plus and near gale to gale force southeast winds pummel the coast. Gale force carnage as the mayhem peaks in one big dastardly contusion of swell and wind. That's a little bit more interesting than rough seas between so-and-so and so-and-so. Small boat warning.
I prefer your version.
Thank you.
Okay. I can assure you that your business will not be affected one way when this boat's passed. And again, I urge the Weather Bureau to take note of who its many users and potential users are and to speak to them and to find ways of cooperating. And the more people that are sensible and trying to do a decent job are available to get information out to our people, the less damage we will have in future. And particularly, if all the dastardly, to use your word, outcomes of climate change become more and more true, we as a nation, particularly one that has a big poor population with only certain types of information available to them and sources of information, we definitely don't want to close down any sources of information that can help them regulate their lives in such a way that they can keep kith and kin alive. So you can be sure that all your issues are not going to become a nightmare for you. Any questions? Garrett. Mr. Lawler.
Thanks, Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. I'm actually on your website now, so I've been introduced to it. I'm a beach user in KZN myself, so I've learned something new. I think the language is fantastic, and I understand this particular community that consumes this, and that kind of language is exactly adds to the sort of color and spiritual nature of, for example, you know, that surfers have. It's worth, you know, always as a legislator looking at the unforeseen consequences, and I think, you know, Chairperson, one of the things we should be careful of, yeah, we have a very unique website which offers a service not effectively to a closed network because it has public access, but to a community which is somewhat restricted to people who make use of the water for any recreational sport, and so be it. But one of the things, of course, we must, I think, guard against legislators is that your colourful language, which I love and support, and I've been amused to read a couple of reports here already, is in itself doesn't fall victim to other people taking that language and moving into another source. So, for example, I mean, I'm looking at a Monday 23 posting, which is really about the excitement and enjoyment that surfers could get from I think it's a cyclone moving down the Mozambique Channel. And your language, of course, is colourful, and you know I like it a lot. But we need to create legislation that also protects you, because you've got a closed network, as I say. But, for example, you use the word carnage ahead. A cyclone moves from Mozambique Channel to Park off Durban this weekend. Now, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I would hate for someone to, of course, to be able to lift language, which is entirely appropriate for the context which you presented in, of course, to present it to a third party. You know, someone could actually say, well, you know, he has a weather forecaster who is predicting carnage, you know, to, you know, perhaps your average Durban resident who is not a surfer or skateboarder or kite surfer, that actually may create some panic as well. So I don't know what the Chair's thoughts on this. I mean, I would hate to see this legislation in any way affect, I think, what is effectively a niche service that you operate. No one else is doing it. I mean, why should you be stopped from doing it? I think we have to apply our minds to making sure that legislation doesn't inadvertently hurt you. Because you, as I said, and you're very frank about it, you make the weather more interesting, but you also have a particular clientele. Perhaps you have a comment on what I'm saying. I don't have a question then specifically, but thank you. You've alerted me to a great new website.
Thank you.
Yeah, now obviously our intention would be with the drafting to deal with a particular evil, and that is the evil of people being evil. So it's where people deliberately want to be create false information and misleading information, or a hoax that we would want to deal with. And clearly, the kind of language you're using is not the kind of thing that would fall within that category, because it's a view that you have. It's not giving false or misleading information. It's identifying that categorization. So I think you're quite right that what we would want to do is be very careful. And also, I think what we must do is, when we give our speeches in Parliament, if the courts have any doubt on what the intention of the legislator is, the best way to do it is in Hansard to explain very carefully what is our intention. So when we deal with a bill in the House, I think we must be very clear that what evils we're dealing with. So and I have no problems even saying that the website Wave, what is it?
Wavescape
is the kind of thing that we want to encourage. So we can say that. I mean, you know, this is the big issue about yesterday. The advocate that was here raised it and said it's the interpretation of what the legislator wanted that the courts look at. And that is why they don't easily strike down offences. because the interpretation of the offence, what it means, and what factual situation fits into it, is the sole preserve of a judge or a magistrate. It's not my preserve, it's not yours, it's not one of ours. I mean, what that clause means, and even as the clause stands now, as wide as it is, nothing stops the court from interpreting, and clearly the legislator didn't mean that this is the kind of case that should forward, and it should have surely meant this and gives interpretation. But it's much better for us to be clear and try and make it as clear as possible, and to leave some area of interpretation. There should always be an area of interpretation. And of course, the factual situation that fits into that is the preserve of the courts. I mean, and that's how it should be. I mean, if you want to do that. But what we're definitely encouraging in the committee is for us to be as accurate as we can be. But your kind of website definitely should not fall in that category. So you shouldn't worry. Anything else further? No? Thank you very much, Mr. Pike. Thanks for the effort and for coming down and using this opportunity. We really appreciate it. And we do hope that you have our blessing of this committee to engage the weather services, if they don't do it, to have further discussions on possible ways of collaborating.
Thank you. That's really important. Thank you so much.
All right. We're rapidly running out of people. Dr. Lisa Ramsey, submission 20. Dr. Lisa Ramsey? Oh, there we are. Have you been here this morning?
I have, yes.
So you've heard everything. So welcome. Thank you for taking this opportunity, and you have 10 to 15 minutes to put your point across. Thank you.
Chairman and honourable members, thank you for this opportunity. I'm a researcher and lecturer at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, specialising in meteorology, air pollution and environmental health. I'm here today representing a group of atmospheric scientists based in Durban. We are concerned about the effects of the proposed amendments on academic research. I think a difficulty in presenting later in the program is that many of the pertinent points have been discussed, but I'd appreciate 10 minutes of your time to offer a brief perspective from within the academy. Our first concern regarding air pollution warnings has been largely resolved by discussions yesterday. As part of my community outreach activities, I work closely with CDOs in Durban, modelling and monitoring air quality, and I'm pleased that the restrictions posed by 38(1)(a) will be revised. However, I still want to pick up on the issue of severe weather warnings in case this provision remains in the bill. If such warnings are to be limited, it is suggested that the terms severe weather and warning are very clearly defined. I could comment on the distinction between an extreme weather and severe weather event at the end of my presentation if that would be useful. Mr. Morgan brought this issue up yesterday. I also appreciated the comment from Mr. Morgan yesterday that we need to distinguish between public warnings and warnings within smaller networks or groups. I'm often presenting model predictions at academic conferences, for example. Various research groups and private companies have developed to fulfill forecasting requirements that are not sufficiently addressed by SOARs at present, such as the capacity to issue real-time warnings of tornadoes or dangerously high levels of UV radiation. Schedules 1 and 2 of the Act and the amendments read as though SOARs is the only institution that conducts the activities listed, when in reality the Atmospheric Science Network is much broader and more collaborative than suggested. Although we firmly believe that the South African public should have access to weather warnings by any forecasting institution acting in good faith, perhaps the compromise would be to maintain the distinction between warnings and official warnings on severe weather events. As such, any institution could make a severe weather warning as long as this is made in an unofficial capacity. This would also deal with the issue of impersonators. It wouldn't matter if your warning was correct or misleading or false or a hoax. You would be prosecuted for impersonating SOARs. Our next concern is data access, an issue touched on yesterday by the Hamnet representative. Weather data is a basic input for various climate and air quality models. The bill formalizes the shift away from a public service to a more commercial model for SOARs. We are concerned that the commercialization of weather data could stifle research and innovation. It certainly would limit opportunities for academic research, where funding is often a concern, particularly with student research. Early last year, I advised a student to change research topic after being quoted more than 5,000 rand for the rainfall data set required to assess rainfall cyclicity in northern KZN, an important analysis in the context of climate changes in the region. No country, and certainly not South Africa, can afford to inhibit research and innovation in the field of climate science. In light of these issues, perhaps a provision could be made under Schedule 1 to provide the commercial data packages that are described in Schedule 2 to academic researchers at no extra cost. On a more technical note, focusing on air quality data, any limitations on access to air quality data would conflict with SOAR's requirements under the National Framework for Air Quality Management. While perhaps some processed data packages could be sold to commercial enterprises, SOAR needs to ensure that unprocessed air quality data remains freely available and is easily accessible to the public and researchers as required under the national framework. The amendment bill in its current form fails to acknowledge this obligation. Perhaps something further could be included under Schedule 1. I now shift my concerns onto Section 38.1c. This section was brought up yesterday and is largely resolved, but I want to frame the issue slightly differently, so when the bill is revised, our perspectives can be incorporated. Our concern with this issue is that it limits academic critique of SOAR's data collection methodologies, processing, or analysis. Scientific knowledge develops through cycles of theorizing, critique, reassessment, and re-theorizing. While critique of SOAR may be detrimental to its scientific image per se, such critique is a natural and necessary mechanism for encouraging innovations within the scientific model. It concerns us that academics, and others of course, could be criminally prosecuted for any criticisms that have financial repercussions for SOARs. This now overlaps the debate yesterday, so I'll stop here. Just as a final comment, I feel that you may have received more submissions from academics had this comment period not taken place over the festive season. The university's only reopened in the last week. Thank you.
I will take that into consideration. Unfortunately, things move, have to move on. But your point is taken. Look, on the issue of the commercialization, we every year we engage with SOARs, and as I've said, if you have information available where that kind of restriction is being created through research, obviously research which has of an academic nature, not research which is going to have a commercial value in the end. But I'm sure there's a distinction that can be made, and a whole lot of provisions and subject to and so on can be made that it's genuine academic. So if you have any of those issues where such commercialization is creating problems, let us have the information so we can engage SOARs when they come to us later in the year, okay?
Okay. It's definitely a new issue. I worked with SOARs doing research for 6 years, and as of 2011, I was told that there were restrictions on the amount of data we had access to.
Now, what happens with agencies, once it has a public function and getting public money, and then you attach a commercialization issue to it, and the way that the agency then wants to get money and not be so reliant on Parliament because they know they're going to get a certain slice of the cake, is clearly they start commercializing more and more of their services.
Correct.
It's a natural...
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm sitting there as the head of a board and I'm thinking, how do I get money and so on, that happens. But the issue for us is, and in some instances it has to be like that. I mean, where businesses are going to use that advantage, they should pay for it. But in those instances, where we, for example, as parliamentarians, think that that information should be more available, we're happy to engage SOARs on those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is that their functions then have to be limited, because clearly they can only do that if their functions allow them to commercialize in that area, otherwise they're working outside their remit. But if it does that, then we have to find ways of limiting that, where we, as politicians, as the legislators, as policymakers, feel that that information shouldn't be commercialized and it should rather be funded from tax money. So there's a delicate balance to be tread. We don't want to get too technically involved. But as I said, like this is a prime example.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable to me that if genuine research is being done,
yeah,
which can help the rest of the country formulate policies, find out what weather patterns are, and we're trying to block a student by 5,000 rand to it's just unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. So that kind of thing is the kind of thing we would want to look at, okay? So on that score. And on the other two, definitely the A and B of 30A, we only want to limit it to intentions. I haven't engaged with Mr. Morgan on the issue, and we'll do it when we debate these issues on whether you want to make it private or public. I think there's a debate to be had, because if you restrict it to false and to misleading and to hoaxes, then I don't think you need to just make a distinction,
no,
because you've limited it only to, because even something that's given on a private network,
mm-hmm,
if someone else takes that, not the user, and then uses it more publicly, then you have a problem. If you originally say this is not going to be fall under the crime, you're creating big problems. If then people, there's immediately a loophole, they can take that information then and use it elsewhere. But we'll have that debate. I think it's a separate debate. It depends on how we word the clause. And if we keep to the issues, then we'll have that debate further. So we will definitely look at that issue further. But any questions? Mr. Morgan? Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Dr. Ramsey, for that presentation. I mean, Chair, one of the things I'm alerted to when I hear a presentation like the one given by Dr. Ramsey is we've got an amendment bill before us, and I mean, we have, you know, the tendency is to really reflect only on the text that is before us and not what could also be included in amendment four. We're amending a piece of legislation, and you raise a good point because, of course, you've actually gone beyond the text on the table and said you've got some issues with the use of the schedules. And the schedules is what defines, from what having read the original bill again recently, what's in the commercial side and what's in the public side. And an important debate, and I would think that, you know, we effectively are reviewing the Weather Service Amendment Act. It's been 10 years since it was passed. And Chair, maybe that's a discussion we actually have to have. I mean, I'd be very interested, for example, for the Weather Service to actually come and make a presentation to us on those, on where they put these and how they come up with these definitions and what's in each column. Because possibly there is, I mean, Dr. Ramsey has raised one point. Maybe that is a possible amendment. And there might be some others. I mean, one of the problems I've had with regards to the way Weather Service data is packaged is the fact that we have to accept that up to a point in our recent past, the Weather Service was practically entirely funded by the taxpayer through the dark old days up to 2001-2, and then there was a more of a commercialization imperative. And, you know, if there's a debate about that, of course I'd want the Weather Service to bring in income other than the taxpayer as well. But I don't know what type of data, for example, your student was looking for, but I would imagine some of it is historical as well. And it's important to, you know, it's an ethical thing when, for example, you are getting data which was, say, captured over the course of 100 years, which was funded entirely by the taxpayer, and then at a point in time to be told now you actually have to pay for data that was previously entirely funded by the taxpayer. And I think there's a debate there. I mean, I've had conversations with SOARs about this before, and they insist that in cases like this they attach an administration fee to it, or they attach a fee which is the work it takes to lift the data from the system. If that is the case, I mean, fees themselves can be prohibitive, quite frankly. I mean, you can actually put anything under an administration fee and say, well, you know, just take it or leave it. We're actually technically giving you the data for free from the past, but you're paying for the work of us extracting the data. I think there's a debate to be had there, and perhaps what we should do, Chairperson, is actually ask the Weather Service to at least make us a presentation on Schedule 1 and Schedule 2, and why they do it, and the fees they attach to it, because, you know, it might be another 10 years before the amendment bill is for us. So in summary, you know, not everything that is of issue people are raising is in the amendment bill. The one or two issues that we might have to go back to the original Act and use this opportunity to review, in fact, what the Weather Service is doing. Thanks, Chair.
We are the only legislator, and so any legislation that has to be changed goes through us. The only problem is, and I, in other committees, have already, I mean, there are times that you've rewritten legislation, it's no problem. I just think this issue is quite a complex one, and one that one would want to air in a proper way and clearly. And so what I do say to the Weather Service is, who's the top honcho here from Weather Services today? Who's the most senior? There we are. Ma'am, if you can just say to the Weather Services, we want, when you guys come to us, we've got dates, they're almost ready. We want you to very clearly come and give an input to us on all aspects of commercialization. And we want you to go into the details, each aspect. This aspect's been commercialized, what are these we're doing about, and so on. Because there are ways of dealing with this. I mean, I think probably it's a very fine balance you have to create. And probably to create certain powers in the legislation whereby we as legislators say that this is the kind of stuff we would not want to see commercialized, number one. And number two, to provide a clause that in those instances the CEO of Sells should waive any kind of costs and so on. You know, so that's the way. So you keep intact the schedule, but you find another mechanism. And we, so there are a lot of ways of looking at it. I mean, there could even be others that I haven't thought about. But I want us to I want you to be on the alert that that's the very serious issue we're going to address this year, and that already you can bring us some solutions on how to deal with this. But those issues where really where there's a public good of having the information, those ways we should not, we should find ways, if they have been commercialized, to stop the detrimental effect of that commercialization, okay? So we would want a full input on that occasion. And we will definitely take into account. And as I said, if anyone has information where you have had instances of that this is happening and you feel that this is the case, please let us have it, else we won't have the examples necessarily. You can send it individually to people, or you can send it to the committee. We'd be very happy to deal with it, okay? And on that occasion then, if we do feel it's a necessity to do amendments and that, we can then pass a resolution to that effect. I think in any case we should pass a resolution to say that that is one of the issues that does worry us, that there are instances where there's been unintended consequences. But we can look at more associated. Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, Chair, I think it'll be a great resolution to pass and to keep it on the agenda of our committee. And one of the things I was looking at in the amendment bill before us is the power of the minister to, after publication in a gazette, to move different products between public and commercial. And I mean, I haven't seen anyone make any kind of submissions on this particular clause yet, but you know, if it's before us, it's probably a clause we should look at. And I mean, I've, and I know you've worked on probably stacks of legislation where, of course, we empower ministers to make those kind of things, and I think there's always a fine balance in allowing the executive to govern versus obviously creating checks and balances in legislation for legislators. But one of the things we should maybe at least consider and have a debate about is with regards to that type of clause, is to actually say that if the minister intends to do it, I mean, the gazetting is all fine, but perhaps because of the public nature of weather, is to say do it after consultation with, say, the portfolio committee. Not in, you know, in consultation, it's got different things. Because
after tabling
it. But after saying, it means that the legislators should get an input.
Yeah.
And the minister
that.
Then can go off. So at least we can represent the interests and maybe, if that was to happen, we could do public hearings, blah, 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 and attempt to influence the minister's decision. I think it might be a sensible thing to look at.
Just put that under those amendments that we, you know, just list them as one of those. I think that's something which is technical, which just creates better legislative processes, which is not something we need to have to wait on. It's a good suggestion. Okay. Anything else? No further questions? Charlie? Dr. Huang?
Thank you, Chairperson. I first appreciate for Dr. Lisa's presentation. I think quite key issue in the insight with this South Africa weather service. Yeah. Like she highlighted for the this UV this radiation is later in the older country. So I think it's we like the South Africa weather service must be how to cooperate with this private. This organization, because now we amend the act, we have the penalty, we have the anything, but let this private company skate, because they want to publish some this information, maybe is more accurate to the South Africa Weather Service, but this case maybe it touches for the this law, unlawful. So I just say, Chairperson, I think it's quite I quite appreciate the, and the, from the research, there is a very 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 lot of key point inside is regarding for amend for inside we since yesterday we talking the 31AC and the number 2. So I think this one I very appreciate. I just make my comment. Thanks.
Okay, that's good. All right. Thank you very much. As you see, these are ongoing processes, and the two issues you've raised about A and C, not the A and C, about clauses A and C, we definitely will be addressing and making it much more in line with what all of us intend it to be. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, we have two submissions. What's the time? Yeah, we earlier than they should have been here. We can't get hold of the people on the phones. And we finished, it's only those two that are left. It's the ARC ISC, whatever that is, and EarthLife. Now, EarthLife is only last on today at 4, so we'll try and get hold of them. And adjourn till 2 o'clock and hopefully get both of them at 2. Obviously, if they've withdrawn like yesterday, someone withdrew, then that's something else. But Chileka will try and get them to be at 2 o'clock and we'll then just finish it off. Then I have slightly changed the program that you were sent yesterday. We'll get a new one. Because I thought that we, once we finish with the hearings now, it's important for us to get together soon to try and see, to speed up this process, and seeing that there's kind of broad consensus on where we should be going, I've set aside those two mornings when the State of the Nation is being debated in the afternoon. So. Those were the other two we were meeting. I'm moving what we have there and keeping those 2 days for us to sit down and go through all these amendments and things and all the issues we've raised with the department to see if we can get some consensus on what amendments have to take place. I hope you would have met with, Peter would have met with Lorraine Lotter, that you guys discuss those issues with those technical things. Today, Ms. Rams has also raised one issue there, so maybe it's worth engaging her on that, that she has the worry, and that is that the database you will be creating for the air, whatever, that to what extent is access going to be limited to that issue? And I think that the legislation should spell that out clearly. I would like to see it clearly there. If you want to limit it, in some way, then we need to know it and we need to make that a part of the policy decision. If not, well, then it's easier, but then we spell it out, okay? So, just that one. Those are the only two. Is there any other submissions that dealt with the air pollution thing? Just those two. So sort that out. You've heard our views. Start pulling together all the issues, because we'll go through every single amendment that people have suggested. And you can also then start working on, when you've listened to us, start working on some amendments to try and capture the things that have been said. We'll then also, that'll make it easier and speed up the processes, okay? So you guys can start doing all that preparatory work. Not next week, next week is training week. The week after is the week of the State of the Nation. The week after that, I think it's the 14th and 15th, 13th, that is when the State of the Nation is debated. Those two mornings we will deal with this bill. And I've left over one more day, I think, in the next week where we can vote on amendments if we have found each other and we found consensus on these. Okay? So hopefully in those few weeks then we'll be able to deal with these issues, seeing that there are not many controversies that are bugging us. We should be able to process it. So those will be the things that we're going to do. All right, so just you know, so already so long. And then we'll just finish off the last two submissions this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So let's adjourn, and then committee members, I will give you the further updated program then. So if we have comments on it, we'll see if we've got space on the Rhino's time. If not, we'll do it some other time. But in any case, if you have any comments yourself, you can always just speak to me about it, okay? Okay, have we distributed this document? Okay, let me first have a look at it, and then we'll just decide. All right, let's adjourn. I don't know if some of this wonderful parliamentary food that's available is going to be available for you. Obviously, I'm going to eat my own sandwich somewhere else, but be that as it may, it's free. It will be at some stage. Otherwise, we'll see each other at 2 o'clock. Okay, thank you.